van gozar, guajirita ven. Guajira ven, van gozar, guajirita ven.
Nos embriagan los olores que el merebeca auto recibe.
Nos embriagan los olores que el merebeca auto recibe.
Y siente que te revive en la loma de las flores.
Guajira ven, van gozar, guajirita ven.
La sabana.
Guajira ven, van gozar, guajirita ven.
Merecido de un nuevo su trayolanza, a negar merecido su nuevo su trayolanza, y siente que ya vive en la loma, la sabana.
Guajira ven, van gozar, guajirita ven,
que las flores.
Guajira ven, van gozar, guajirita ven.
On how to use your radio. Find the power button. Turn it to on. Turn the knob to CKUT 90.3 FM. Relax and enjoy. Previously broadcast program.
This is a show from Radio. We're a group of stations bringing new and forgotten ways of making radio to our listeners.
Delta 2 Yankee, Juliet Romeo.
Each week we give artists the challenge to make radio that works across the whole of Europe and beyond.
Delta 2 Yankee, Delta 2 Yankee. Juliet Romeo.
Are you up for it?
The opening in the box, which can absorb all the rays of light incident on it, will appear to be blank. For this reason, a body that completely absorbs all the incident rays falling on it is known as a black body.
No, I'm talking about just plain disintegration, where you're not even speaking the truth anymore, you know, and the violent imagery that's permeated the society and our music now. And sampling is getting to the point where it's out of hand, too. I mean, you pretty soon we'll be sampling the sample that was already sampled.
And so the shadow...
Sampling the sample.
Is the order of what Jung calls the personal unconscious. On the other hand, the self is a function of the biology of the body.
Existentialism is both a philosophy and a mood. As a mood, I think we could say that it is the mood of the 20th century, or at least of those people in the 20th century who are discontent with things as they are.
It's out of those centers, then, that dreams come. And dreams, of course, will be primarily
that was already said.
Personally oriented. They will have come from the shadow system.
I'd like to point out, though, that I say that because it is usually the, if you study the structure of the Negro community, economically, politically, civically, psychologically, and otherwise, it's controlled by the white liberal, who usually poses as the friend of the Negro, who actually differs from the white conservative, in the same way that the fox differs from the wolf. Their appetite is the same. Their motives are the same. It's only their mannerisms and methods are different.
Partly because of the huge costs involved, a government contract becomes virtually a substitute for intellectual curiosity. For every old blackboard, there are now hundreds of new electronic computers.
The seizing of Ethiopia, drapetomania, and hebetude, all of these describe behaviors like destroying your master's property, talking back to a white person, striking a white person, refusing to work as a slave when you were asked, that sort of thing.
Transformed American life with their music, that this is their way of changing America. When you see a black person, you never ask them, are you an American or an African? You just know.
Eventually, the losers succumb, in part because they believe that the specialized knowledge of the masters of computer technology is a form of wisdom. The masters, of course, come to believe this as well. The result is that certain questions do not arise.
Not just stop using them, you have to throw it away. Because as long as you have it, you are perpetuating the infrastructure.
Right.
Claudia Rankine's incisive line from Citizen, because white men can't police their imagination, black men are dying. And here I sense that she's really focused on...
two parts to the human dilemma. One is the belief that the end justifies the means.
Shadow clocks, or sundials, were among man's first clocks. Numbers were placed on the sundial to mark the changing positions of the shadows. Here the shadow is at the number 2.
In civil rights, and
they've already
written
this.
This
interval is 1 hour.
They've already gotten a great literature.
The problem went like this. Certain objects are called black bodies because they emit electromagnetic radiation of all wavelengths. The sun is an example of such an object.
Pretty soon we'll be sampling the sample that was already sampled.
When I think of the outer space, I think of this idea of moving and the black body moving through space and how that has always been restricted.
Black body moving through space.
Tips, roots, nivu, nido, pal. Black body moving through space.
Oh, jujitsu, whatever. I love the music and the sound. Yes.
I love the music and the sound.
I love the music and the sound.
Pick and the sound. Pick and the sound. Pick and the sound.
I said, make it.
Do you understand what I'm saying? When you look at Isangoma, it's the child of the song, the spirit song, Ingoma. So, Sangoma, do you understand what I'm saying? So, Kasisutu e Kingaka, Kasizulu, Yanga. So, Kasisutu e Kingaka. So, Kasisutu e Kingaka.
So, Kasisutu e Kingaka.
Now, the point of the matter is the human spirit is no less complex.
I think what the colonial process does, or any process of domination.
Relativity theory and quantum mechanics.
Another curious tribe is the Samburu, living in the northern frontier district. They're a very primitive people who have no settled home.
Only rays that focus clearly can penetrate.
This is different. I like these.
You know, when I see a white person, a white man, or a white woman, the first thing I start thinking, what do that person, that white person, want from me?
How do you feel the anthropologist can apply all of this varied information to the understanding of, say, our own civilization?
what we have to do is to take each one of these societies as a kind of a laboratory in which we study some of the possibilities of human nature.
But we look at them and we say, oh, they don't have any bathrooms, so they're poor. And they would look at us and say, it's amazing that you can manage to live such anguished lives as you live.
When sun hits your skin, normally what happens is it makes damage to your DNA and millions of them don't even say.
I mean, you're not supposed to be joyful, you're down there being lynched.
That's what density is all about, and that's what urban design is all about, and that's what, and that's why I feel like urban density should be just as core to the sort of political priorities of climate-concerned people as solar power is. As for the population thing, the larger population question I will put aside because it's a sticky wicket, but insofar as you're going to get more people, best thing you can do is to cram them as close together as possible so that they share as much infrastructure as possible, so that they use as few, so that they produce as few emissions as possible per capita.
Now continue using the last switch on the board, please, the 450 switch for each wrong answer. Continue.
I don't get no answer.
Please continue. The next word is white.
Think you should look in on it, please?
Not once we've started the experiment.
Well, what if something's happened and we had an attack or something like that?
The experiment requires that we continue.
Right, or owning a slave. No one here thinks about owning a slave. Mrs. Colbert?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think people have a long time, you know, when I was writing an interview with a scientist at Princeton, Rob Sokolow, and he made the point to me, you know, look, this is like slavery. At a certain point, there will be, you know, and things will flip, and emitting carbon will come to seem, you know, bad.
What we find is that in this information age, something that John Aquila wrote a couple of decades ago is probably more true than even when he first wrote it, which is that when you ask in political contests, traditionally, who would win, the answer was the side with the biggest army would win. But in today's world, sometimes it's the side with the best story that wins.
It doesn't mean people have no stories to tell. People have bags and bags of stories to tell.
So the beauty of this this work was lost on these people because they were afraid. You know, they were afraid that if people saw, you know, essentially all this unstoppable joy.
So therefore, this is what we must do, do you see? We must learn how to take ourselves very, very seriously. Do you see? We must learn how to respect ourselves. We must learn how to respect one another.
And in my mind, there is no greater or more powerful way of experiencing hauntings, contaminations, place, and history than by listening. Listening is a posture that generates an awareness of space and time.
There in those pleated faces, I see the auction block, the chains and slavery's coffles, the whip and lash and stock. My father speaking voices that shred my fact and sound.
My patternists are people, a gathering of mutants, really. They're not extraterrestrial or anything, and they're not gathered for any particularly good purpose. They're gathered because a rather odious character is lonely.
I weighed all of this.
It's happened to everybody who's tried to live. You know, you go through your life for a long time, you think that.
It gives you more sense of structure about where you may be going. We don't really know that either. But it is comforting. It is sort of like a foundation under you to know what went before you.
Well, what about the sisters who don't agree with you?
I'm not going to preoccupy myself in terms of what will happen to them because I know that more people are preoccupied with freedom. No one wants to be a slave.
The hardest thing to be an Indian is to go into the sweat lodge daily, to live the life of our ancestors. That's what he meant. Because it's so easy to be white. It's so easy to go out and get a job and become concerned only with money. And then you start building fences around your house. And you start building fences around your cities. And you start building fences around your states. You start building fences around your country. And all this time you're building only a fence around yourself. And that's the fault of the white man. He is by himself. He lives by himself. He has no relatives. He even goes so far as to leave the land of his ancestors, to leave the burial places of his forefathers. He has no respect, so he is isolated.
If you look at society as simply the collective contribution of millions of human beings who carry in themselves certain power and influence and emotion, and every time you turn the switch off of one of those persons, you've dampened the glow.
I mean to have to create oneself from scratch in environments where one is not supposed to exist.
Now, we must be ready for a new danger, the atomic bomb. First, you'll have to know what happens when an atomic bomb explodes. You'll know when it comes. We hope it never comes, but we must get ready. It looks something like this. There is a bright flash, brighter than the sun, brighter than anything you've ever seen.
We, as blacks, we have something which is very unique. Now, there was a fear of the sun. You see, the sun has given us a seed. We have that thing in our body which is known as the melanin, which links us up to the ultraviolet rays of the sun, so we can't get skin cancer when we are, even when the sun's rays are 100 degrees, no, we don't have.
Knowledge has but one purpose. Its purpose is to alleviate the sufferings of humanity. Capitalism is a backward and stupid system. Capitalism is a contemptuous system. Capitalism is a system made on profit. It will make a commodity out of everything.
Now, it is absurd to say that we Africans were not in Africa when white people first came. And secondly, the conqueror writes history. They came, they conquered, and they wrote.
Of the savage. We begin at the end of the 15th century and we end this exhibition in 1958. In the beginning, in this 16th, 17th and 18th century, it's just fascination. There is no hierarchy. There is, well, it's wonder. These are miracles. Eh? They are shown as miracles. In the 19th century, just at the beginning of the 19th century, the vision of the other will change. It is the century of the making of racial theorists, and that's, you see.
The relationship between race and intelligence changed?
No, not at all. I would like for them to change, that there be new knowledge which says that your nurture is much more important than nature. But I haven't seen any knowledge, and there's a difference on the average between blacks and whites on IQ tests. I would say the difference is it's genetic.
Great heroes of our people came out of our church. Great heroes of our people came out of our church. We are extremely highly organized. We are extremely highly organized.
I think hard times are coming when we will be wanting the voices of writers who can see alternatives to how we live now and can see through our fear-stricken society and its obsessive technologies.
Maniac, an animal. That was the reason for it.
Could he be violent?
Only if people were violent to him. I can be violent also, and I imagine so can you. You see, that's the whole story of America. They take their violence and turn it back around on somebody else.
About zombies so much out there and the Seth Woods.
Well, I never heard you talk about them, did you, Vincent?
No, I haven't.
Talk about the zombie just a wee little bit.
Well, a zombie is supposed to be the living dead. People who die and are resurrected, but without their soul. And they can take orders, and they're supposed to be never to be tired and to do what the master says without cease and without being tired. Naturally, it would be futile for me to attempt to try to explain everything. I do know that people have been resurrected in Haiti. I do not believe that they were actually dead. I believe it was suspended animation.
I don't see how you can have these rallies and everything against the white man. This is America, you know. I mean,
need to say something to this call. This is not America. This is Polynesia. Our country was stolen. That's one of your problems. You're ignorant, woefully ignorant.
Sims and the enslaved women and Narcissus and Lucy, you know, look as if, you know, there is some trepidation. And Narcissus looks as if she's clutching her chest in modesty. The other enslaved women are allowed to peer behind the white curtain while the two medical assistants are also, you know, gazing and pondering what to do.
The eccentric, the extreme, the excluded, the ex-con, the exiled, the expelled, the never meant to survive, extinct, yet stay, awoke, exist, exert, expand, excite, the Malcolms, the Harriets, the Ninas, the Native Sons, Exodus, Zika.
Visible light from the sun passes through the atmosphere and reaches the Earth's surface. UVA, long-wave ultraviolet, is the closest to visible light. Most UVA also reaches the surface, but shorter wave.
Melanin is a versatile molecule.
The harmful rays.
Not only is it responsible for giving us our UV-blocking complexion.
Much of the thinking is based on feedback and control systems. Let's look at the evolution of work. In the beginning, there was manpower.
And unforeseen by you in Brave New World.
I think it is the greatest story ever told.
That the sun is born each
and ultimately
morning.
Dies at night, and then emerges the next morning and bring life back again, but then dies again. And so the whole story is on the subjects of the whole universe and how our skies work and how the planets work.
Firstly, that the time and development and discipline of geology is contemporaneous with the time of slavery and the construction of racial difference. Geologic theories are used to consolidate racial difference and geographical execution, so the theft of indigenous land and theft of Africans.
Okay, we're going to look now at the idea of black body radiation.
A perfect black body absorbs all of the radiation incident on it.
Yeah. It also points to, for me, that there's a set of larger struggles there. There's a legacies there. When people talk about reparations, when they talk about reservations, all of the ways that we talk about land and how we're going to deal with the pain of the past here in the present, I think that's another commonality. And I think we have to figure out how to talk about that and hold that.
The soul is not an entity that has a start and an end. The soul is in constant orbital mode between the land of the ancestors and the land of the tribe.
That we've arranged a society based on science and technology in which nobody understands anything about science and technology, and this combustible mixture of ignorance and power, sooner or later, is going to blow up in our faces. I mean, who is running the science and technology in a democracy if the people don't know anything about it?
And what sad ethical condition are we in when it seems like when everybody has to do the same thing? Why does now everybody have to do the same thing? And people constantly writing these articles, you know, the state of this discipline, the state of that discipline. And it's always from the position, unspoken or not, that everybody should be doing the same thing. And whoever ain't doing the thing that I'm getting ready to say we should be doing is wrong. It's like, no, that's just stupid. You know, it's just ridiculous, actually. And it's there's a bunch of different ways, a bunch of different attitudes, a bunch of different dispositions that are necessary in order to try to provide something that would approach an adequate description of who and what we are and who and what we might be.
I trust what Prince said. We're all just the same. Life is but a game. It's a war of vibrations. Construct your reality. Think about the things you love and draw them into your life.
When a shaman or a healer or a babalawo notices that healing, that the person's health is entangled with the person's sickness, he cuts the body open. I think we need cracks and openings. We are addicted to the highway. The highway is leading to nowhere interesting, but that's all modernity can offer us. And now we need to get lost in order to find a new way, a different way.
We just have to tell our stories so that history will not always and forever be seen from the point of one side.
End of transmission. Find us on the internet, radio.fm. Over and out.
Open the door. Seek new world. In here, Security 90.3 FM from Montreal.
Since we've been talking about it for over a year, and you probably already know anyway, we've decided not to say it this time. So we're not going to tell you again that to protect yourself from COVID-19, you should wash your... And we certainly won't repeat once more that you should wear a... Or most importantly, that we must keep our... From others. Because you already know this is the best way to fight the virus. Even when you're vaccinated, let's continue to protect ourselves. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Hello, this is a show from Radio. We're a group of stations bringing new and forgotten ways of making radio to our listeners.
Delta 2 Yankee, Juliet Romeo.
Each week we give artists the challenge to make radio that works across the whole of Europe and beyond.
Delta 2 Yankee, Delta 2 Yankee, Juliet Romeo.
Are you up for it?
A soundscape is any collection of sounds, almost like a painting is a collection of visual attractions. I think when you listen carefully to the soundscape, it becomes quite miraculous. When you listen carefully and marvel. Well, we hear the train going off into the distance. We can hear some birds, of course. We can hear some traffic noise from Highway 7, quite distant. The most interesting thing, of course, is the birds at this time of the day. You can hear them in all directions. I think if you listen carefully, your life is enhanced. I think it becomes much more interesting. It's the same as looking carefully. If you can use your senses properly, and in art, we try to get people to use their senses, to listen carefully, to look carefully at things. That enriches your life. in a way, the world is a huge composition, a huge musical composition that's going on all the time without a beginning and presumably without an ending. We are the composers of this huge, miraculous composition that's going on around us, and we can improve it or we can destroy it. We can add more noises or we can add more beautiful sounds. It's all up to us. In other societies, one had to exercise one's memory for sounds. There were no recordings. Every sound committed suicide, you might say, and would never be heard again, not exactly the same way. And in some ways, that made people more perceptive and more considerate of the soundscape that they were living with. They were more moved by it because it was living all the time around them. If you have an original sound, and then you put it through a microphone and distribute it through loudspeakers, you can multiply that sound by millions of times. So we're living in a kind of dreadful time in which we have sound overkill, and that's a real problem. So one thing we might think of doing is to begin to reduce the number of sounds in our life. A real sound, of course, is absolutely unique. It has an excitement about it and probably an authenticity, a fidelity that will never be achieved by recordings. But what you're hearing now is not real sound. My voice isn't coming from me. It's coming from sounds that were made a long time ago. And what happens if my voice stops? What do you hear then?
I studied the piano, for instance, at the same time as Glenn Gould. And while we knew each other, I had absolutely no interest in the piano. And we just had the same teacher, you know. And then I began to get interested in being a composer because I thought, if these guys can do it, why can't I do it? So I started to compose and gradually went from the performing end of the thing to the composing end. So for the past 30 or 40 years, I've lived in a different kind of environment, partly because I've loved living with nature. I would go, you know, into nature and began to understand it, began to listen to it, and see how it sounded and how it behaved and so forth. And that's what I did a lot of work of that sort, in which the environment is my orchestra. So we do have ears to listen to the environment, and that's beginning to happen, and that's going to affect, I think, the behavior of a lot of people. I have great hope for the future that we're going to rediscover the acoustic environment in which we live, and we're going to celebrate it, and we're going to save it.
I had studied composition, music composition, of course, and I regarded myself as a composer. But I was teaching in a new university in Vancouver, and it was a communication department that I'd been hired to teach in. I didn't really know very much about communications, although I had being quite close to Marshall McLuhan, who did a lot of work and research in communications, as everybody knows. In particular, I wanted to study acoustic communications and all kinds of acoustic communications, just personal talking between people, the sounds around us, the sounds made by the environment, the sounds from the past, the sounds of the future, and so forth. Creating that kind of a subject was very difficult, actually, because we didn't have a word to describe what I was talking about. And if you don't have a word to describe clearly what it is that everyone can understand, then it doesn't exist. And I think that's the reason that we paid very little attention to sound in our lives up to that period. And so if we'd done anything with the work in the acoustic environment and the soundscape, which is a word I had to create, then we, I think, managed to give that subject a real expression.
Thank you.
I think the work that was done then at Simon Fraser University was very important worldwide. And the book, which I called originally The Tuning of the World, which was then translated into French as Le Paysage Sonore, The Tuning of the World is more accurate because what I really was thinking was that we are responsible for tuning the world. It's like tuning an instrument. You know, you tune your violin so that you can play beautifully. Well, you can tune the sounds of the world, too, so that we have the kind of acoustic environment that is beautiful and not full of noises and other things that eliminate, that crush sounds, that destroy beautiful sounds. I think at that time, 1965, was about the most noisiest time in the Western world. The reason for that is that I would say that jet aircraft were just coming in, commercial jet aircraft, in the early 1960s. That meant that the noise profile around airports was much larger than it had ever been. That people were complaining about the noise. In North America, the car manufacturers began to produce what they called muscle cars. Muscle cars were noisy cars. You know, so there was another area, you know, that was of complaint. There were just too many, and the Concorde, of course, was they were going to introduce the Concorde. Fortunately, that didn't work out. But I mean, there were many new noises in the 1960s, and so people were becoming, I know, because of the surveys we did, people were becoming much more concerned about the deterioration of the acoustic environment. Little by little, I think it has had an influence on our thinking. The question, for instance, of where are the disappearing sounds? Who's collecting them? Now there are many people who are collecting disappearing sounds and working with them and creating musical compositions from them. One person, by the way, I should mention this, who influenced me a great deal was Pierre Schaeffer. Pierre Schaeffer was the first person to record sounds, any sounds, and then manipulate them and turn them into compositions. So he was a very big influence at that time, I think, and his books influenced us all. So it was much later that we began to meet people in other countries that were interested in similar kinds of problems. And it was only when we began to travel and meet together and have conferences that we were able to form the World Forum for Acoustic Ecology. That exists, and we have meetings every year. And you'd be surprised at the area that these researchers now are exploring and coming from different traditions and different countries, and the research that's going on is really quite amazing. So we've done a lot in the last four decades. Well, noise is any unwanted sound, and of course, you know, you could have a very quiet noise too. I mean, it can be something that just a small hum that is bothering you and you can't go to sleep, you know, listening to this sound. So it's noise is not necessarily a loud sound. It's a sound that is the opposite in a way of the paysage sonore. I mean, it's what you don't want, what you want to eliminate. And those noises change. You know, what is considered a noise in one society is not considered a noise in another society. So we tend to be trying to escape noises by going inside houses. People in the past spent a lot more time outside, as we know. I think the soundscape today is much quieter than it was in the 60s and 70s. Now, that may surprise a lot of people, And it's very hard to go back and actually do measurements in 1960, although, you know, some measurements were done. But I think there's no doubt that the technologies have reduced some of their noise emission, and so that we're in a somewhat quieter world than we were at that time. However, in the world of entertainment, for instance, there has been no reduction of noise in pop music. Rock concerts still have 110 decibels or more, and people listen to it and destroy themselves by doing so. I think that what we are entering now is the beginning of an area of soundscape design in which many of the people that have become interested in our work in different countries, I mentioned the World Forum for Acoustic Ecology, in many different countries there are people that are now beginning to design sounds, to design the sounds of locomotives, the whistles on trains, to design the sounds in airports, for instance, so you don't have, you know, voices screaming at you all the time, flight 471 for, you know. There's other ways of getting the information to people without interrupting, you know, their thinking and so forth, and leaving them in peace when they have to spend two or three hours or more in an airport waiting. So I think there's a lot more thinking about acoustic design for the future, and that's the way the world seems to want it at the moment. I think the La Semaine du Son that you have in France is amazing and wonderful, and I hope it continues, because you've done something that no other country has yet been able to do, and that is you brought all the sound makers together to at least meet each other and talk and see that there is a relationship between their work. And I think that's very important. And I have nothing but praise for Christian Huguenet and his team for what they've accomplished. And now it's beginning to catch on in other countries too. So that will be something really interesting if we do have, weeks of sound in different... If we had 52 countries that celebrated the La Semaine du Son, we could do nothing but go from one conference to another. Wonderful, eh?
La conciencia visual no es igual a la conciencia oral. La conciencia visual mira hacia adelante. La conciencia oral está centrada. Me encuentro siempre en el corazón del universo sonoro. Me habla con sus muchas lenguas. Me habla con las lenguas de los dioses.
In a way, the world is a huge composition, a huge musical composition that's going on all the time, without a beginning and presumably without an ending. We are the composers of this huge, miraculous composition that's going on around us, and we can improve it, or we can destroy it. We can add more noises, or we can add more beautiful sounds. It's all up to us.
Los sonidos no pueden conocerse de la misma manera que puede conocerse lo que se ve. La visión es reflexiva y analítica, coloca las cosas una junto a otra y las compara, siendo la razón por la que Aristóteles la prefería como fuente principal de conocimientos. No se puede pesar un susurro, contar las voces de un coro o medir la risa de un niño. Todo sonido se suicida y no vuelve. Los músicos saben que ninguna frase musical puede repetirse de manera idéntica dos veces.
A real sound, of course, is absolutely unique. It has an excitement about it and probably an authenticity, a fidelity that will never be achieved by recordings. But what you're hearing now is not real sound. My voice isn't coming from me. It's coming from sounds that were made a long time ago. And what happens if my voice stops? What do you hear then?
Raymond Murray Schaeffer, 18 de julio de 1933, 14 de agosto de 2021.
Una producción de la Escuela Creativa de Radio, TEA FM.
Realizada en los estudios del Centro de Tecnologías Avanzadas del INAEM, en Zaragoza.
Experimentamos con nuestra imaginación y la convertimos en sonidos.
Listening to the power hitter of FM radio. Keep it tuned to CKUT 90.3 FM.
I think the magnitude of this will probably not sink in or talked about or understood for a while.
CKUT.
Spread your wings. One-stop Caribbean cuisine for the best in Caribbean dishes. Come visit us and enjoy our specialties such as oxtail, jerk chicken, roti, and many more. Ask about our $8 lunch special on any chicken plates from Tuesdays to Fridays, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Also try our famous crispy fried chicken dipped in our special barbecue sauce. You can order online through your preferred restaurant apps or call 514-365-3636 or enjoy a 10% discount on all in-store pickup. This don't apply to promotions. We are located at 334 Saint Jacques in Lachine. Visit us today. One Stop Caribbean Cuisine, Chef X, new location.
Blessing up a flow like a river. Blessing up a flow like.
Introducing the awaited debut album, Lydium, featuring original jazz compositions by Iranian-Canadian composer Behrouz Mihaka. Lydium is available now on all streaming platforms. Visit Beirut.